Well, today is February 11th, 2008. I'm sitting here again with my son Mark, and it's nice to be able to fellowship with someone in our families, fellowship together in our family around the Word of God. I wonder how many people Mark fellowship around the Word of God. Not very many probably left in our society do this, but anyway, it is a joy. You wanted to do a discussion tonight on the question, well, what is it?
Is Jesus your Savior?
Is Jesus your Savior? So we could flip that around. I could flip that around to you. Well, is Jesus your Savior?
Yes.
Yes. The question is, though, how do we know that Jesus is our Savior?
By the Word of God.
By the Word of God. But, you know, a lot of people read the Word of God, but they don't are unable to see the Word of God. It's like a sword. It brings animosity. It brings things other than peace to them. But for the elect, we have faith, and that faith comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, drawing us to Jesus Christ and giving us assurance that we are His children. Now, if we look in the first chapter of Acts, right before Christ's ascension back into heaven, Christ is telling the apostles, He's instructing them, and He showed Himself alive after His passion, it says in the third verse, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Can you imagine, Mark, how it must have been for the apostles and all these different people to see Jesus Christ walking on the face of the earth 40 days after He was resurrected?
No.
That would have been something, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And read the fourth verse there of that first chapter of Acts for me.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of me.
And the sixth verse says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. Look what happened. It says in the ninth verse, read that for me.
And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight.
Wow, that must have been something, right?
Uh-huh.
People make such a big deal over UFOs today.
Yeah.
Unidentified flying objects. Well, here was an identified flying object. Uh-huh. Jesus Christ was standing before them, and all of a sudden, it says in the 10th verse, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. That must have been quite a...
Yeah.
Read verse 11.
Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven.
Now the question on tonight's discussion is, Jesus your Savior? Now, you know, I would like to ask a question too. Was Jesus the Savior of the Old Testament saints?
No. Yeah.
Well, he better have been.
Why?
Because Jesus Christ is the only mediator between uh-huh. God and man, and that includes all men uh-huh. that are his elect. See, there's people that are trying to promote a doctrine of dispensationalism that says there's two and three different ways of salvation. There's a way of salvation for the Jews, that they don't have to know Jesus. John Hagee and Charles Serbaugh and a lot of dispensational, Dr. Wayne House, uh-huh. you know. And your question is appropriate. Is Jesus your Savior? Was Jesus Moses' Savior?
Yeah.
Was Jesus Jacob's Savior?
Yeah.
Sure he was. Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Uh-huh.
There is only one name given among men whereby uh-huh. you must be saved, and that is the man who?
Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus. So, is Jesus your Savior? That's a good title, because my question is, was Jesus the Savior of all those Old Testament saints? Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And there are those that are now denying that.
Uh-huh.
They're saying you don't even have to know the name of Jesus
yeah.
to get to heaven. So the question that you have is, Jesus your Savior? Now let's read in the 17th chapter of John. Start just reading down through the first verse and read it down through verse 11, and then I'll pick up from there.
These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. They have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are.
Wow, this is quite a prayer. This is the true Lord's Prayer. You know, this is the Lord himself praying to his Father. And you know, this is the last time that he was praying with them in intercessory prayer to the Father. And he notice here in the first verse, he says, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. The Trinity always works in perfect unity together. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now my question is, does that include the Old Testament saints?
Yes.
Yes. Because he says all flesh.
Uh-huh.
All of the Old Testament saints were given to the Son, just like all of the New Testament saints were given to
yes.
the Son by the Father. And it says that the Father had given the Son power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He gave those Old Testament saints eternal life. He gave Moses and Elisha and Elijah and Jacob and Abraham and Joshua, Isaiah, all of those Old Testament prophets. He gave Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, David, right? And he says in the third verse, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ." They might know Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, he goes on by saying, "I've glorified thee on the earth." Who's the I there? The I is who?
God.
But more specifically,
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. He said, "I, Jesus Christ, have glorified thee." Who's the thee?
God.
The Father. Mm-hmm. The Father. "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me." Who's that? Who's the me?
Jesus.
Jesus. "Glorify Jesus Christ with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says that, "Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." He was with God eternally in heaven before he came to this earth. He says, "I have manifest thy name unto the men." What was his name?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. And he says, "Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me." Who's the me there?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. "Are of thee," the Father, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the reason when you ask, "Is Jesus your Savior?" Those who are given to the Son by the Father have been saved through the work of Jesus Christ. He gave himself a ransom for many, right? And he says, in verse 10, "All mine are thine, and thine are mine." That's your answer. Is Jesus your Savior? Now, my question to you and to all the people that are listening to this message is, were you given to the Father? I mean, were you given by the Father to the Son?
Does my wife show it?
Well, I mean, that's a good question.
Yeah.
But the question is, not just your works now. The question is, were you given to the Son by the Father?
Yeah.
Yes. And how do you know that? You know that because there's a scripture that says His Spirit, what?
Bears witness with your spirit.
With our spirit, our that spirit, we're what?
Children of God.
Correct. And also, he says that in the 6th chapter of John, that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And so the question that we have is, has the Father drawn you to Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Yes. And he says, all that the Father... Well, read verse 37 for me.
Verse 37
of the 6th chapter of John.
"All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out."
Have you found yourself coming to Jesus Christ?
Yes, but not of my own works.
No, but you found yourself fleeing to the cross of Christ,
yeah.
Right? Well, when you do that, that is strong evidence that you're given to the Son by the Father.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now, let's go back to Hebrews. And Jesus is the great high priest. And I want you to look at the third chapter of Hebrews. And I want you to read the first verse.
Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus.
Okay, and it says, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Now, read verse 6 for me.
That Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end.
And that's what we need to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
We need to hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And he goes on and says, here we're going to go on to the fourth chapter of Hebrews. Read the third verse there.
The fourth chapter?
Uh-huh. And the third verse.
For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
Think about that. All of the works of God were finished from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
And he says in the ninth verse, there remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. He did all the work. He's the author of our salvation. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And he paid the price on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary for all of his people. But we were given to the Son. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Now go over to the fifth chapter of Hebrews and read the ninth verse for me.
In being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
Okay, he became the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey him. And he was our priest. He entered in once into the holy place and became the sacrifice,
yeah,
for our sins. And he shed his precious blood on the cross. And we don't have to go back in and offer sacrifices again and again, because he's already completed the holy place. In the holy place, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Look in the ninth chapter of Hebrews here. This is all really, really powerful stuff here that gives us assurance of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Read the 12th verse.
Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
You know, there's a song that says, redeemed how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and what?
Forever I am.
Forever I am. Now, let's look over to the Look over to the 24th verse and read that one.
For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us.
Think about that. God is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's actually making intercession for us right now. He's praying for His elect. And it says, read verse 28.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Your question was, is Jesus your Savior? There's your answer. Christ once was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Yes. All of His saints are.
Uh-huh.
And it says,
glad He died for me too.
Yes. And look over in the 10th chapter of Hebrews and read the 17th verse.
Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Yeah. And it says, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. The Roman Catholics are doing the Mass, are committing blasphemy against the perfect Christ, because Christ has already paid the price. You know, there's no more remission. There's no more offering for sin. Christ has already paid the price. And He's already fulfilled everything that the Father told Him to come and do. And He freely laid down His life for us. And He says, I freely take it down, lay it down, and I can freely take it up again. And so this is a wonderful thing, what He's done for us as our high priest. And so when you ask, is Jesus Christ your Savior, the question that we need to ask all of those that are listening is Jesus Christ your high priest? Has he died for you on the cross?
Yes.
And I'm asking those that are listening as well.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't died for everyone, has He?
No.
No, it says that He died for the sins of many, bringing many sons into glory. Look, go back now to the second chapter of Hebrews. Read the 10th verse for me.
For it became Him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings.
And He also says, you know, here we could go on and think about your question, is Jesus your Savior? It says in the 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And there are those out there that are now preaching that Jesus loves everybody. And when we ask the question, is Jesus your Savior? The question that we, you know, the Savior, Jesus was the Savior for all for whom He died for. And one of the most significant things that I think in the Bible, we can look at many different things, but we think about His mother, Mary, His mother, and how that the Catholic Church said that she was immaculately conceived, immaculate conception. Well, what that was really saying was that she was without sin. That her mother, now, if she was without sin and she was conceived by her mother, then that wouldn't that make her mother have to be immaculately conceived too?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that's a denial of the Bible, because the Bible says that all have sinned and what?
In short, the glory of God.
Yes, and all are born and conceived
in sin.
So we're going to now look at what Mary had to say about your question. Is Jesus your Savior? Look in the Luke, the first chapter, the 47th verse, and read that for me.
First chapter, the 47th verse.
Mm-hmm.
And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior.
My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She recognized her need of a Savior. She recognized that she was born and conceived in sin, just like everyone else. And yet here, she had given birth to our Lord Jesus. But yet she still realized that she was a sinner in need of a Savior. And so she rejoiced in the fact that Jesus Christ was her Savior. And that totally denounces the fact that she was immaculately conceived, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. And the prior verse says, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. He hath regarded the low estate." She recognized that she was born and conceived in sin. And verse 49, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." So this is a beautiful passage there. She talks about Jesus being her Savior. Now we're going to look at a couple other passages that talks about that. Let's look in the Jude verse 25. Jude is right before Revelation.
The only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
what a verse. And that's what we need to realize. People want to put all this focus upon the free will of man and person supposedly having the ability to believe in Jesus Christ, and they can't do that when they're dead in their trespasses and sin. Before that it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Jesus Christ is the sinner's only hope. There's no hope outside of Jesus Christ. We have no hope. And we flee to the cross of Christ, and we recognize that we are destitute. We're born and conceived in sin, and the only way we can recognize that is with the Holy Spirit convicting us of our sin, and the Father giving us to the Son. And then we can cry, "Abba, Father," knowing that we're adopted into the family of Jesus Christ. And that it's an eternal inheritance, undefiled, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's what Peter says, right?
Mm-hmm.
Reserved in heaven for you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so here he says in Jude, now to him that is able, read 49 again for me. I'm sorry, 24 again.
25, you mean?
24.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
Yeah. He's able to do that. And so if Jesus died for you, and if the Father gave you to the Son, and if the high priest has entered once into the holy place, and he has shed his precious blood for you, I have good news to you, that for you, that nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Yeah.
He says, your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. He is the high priest. And we saw in the 17th chapter of John that he even prayed for those that would believe on them through the apostles' word. And that's us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if we are one of Jesus' children, if we are one of his sheep, there's great joy for us. There's great joy for us. And we can look forward with great hope, knowing that the day will come when we will see him face to face, and we will be so pleased to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because we know he's the only one worthy to take the book and to open the book. And he will welcome us in to his glory and his presence, and we will no longer be tainted by the sins of this world. We will be living in a paradise. He told the thief on the cross, this day thou wilt be with me in
paradise.
In paradise. We're going to conclude this study. We look in the 21st chapter of Matthew, and I want you to read the 42nd verse there for me.
Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes.
It's the Lord's doing. It's not had nothing to do with men. Men do not bring Jesus into their own hearts. Jesus is the one that does all the work. The Father has given him to the Son. And the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. In John 3 we see, he says, you must be born again. The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you for your word. We're thankful that you are our Savior and our Lord and our King, and that you're our High Priest. You have paid the perfect sacrifice, was given by your blood shed on the cross for us. We ask that you would take your word and use it to those who are listening, and that we know that it always accomplishes what it's intended. Your word will not return unto you void. We ask this for your name and for your honor, and we exalt your name and your Son Jesus Christ, and we ask this in your name and for your glory alone. Amen.